Call from mom. Answer it. Call silenced.
Instacart knows nothing gets between you and the game. That's why they make ordering from your couch easy. Stock up today and get all your groceries for the week delivered in as fast as 30 minutes without missing a minute of the game.
You have 47 new voicemails.
Download the app to get free delivery on your first three orders while supplies last. Minimum $10 per order. Additional terms apply.
Hi, I'm Lauren Sherman, the host of Fashion People. I love fashion, obviously, but shopping for fashion online is kind of annoying. There's endless scrolling, my size is always out of stock, and I can't actually find what I want. No one has really made this work for me. That is until List. Instead of browsing different stores one by one, on List you can see and shop all of the best fashion. List is the secret shopping weapon now used by all my most stylish, cool, and in-the-know friends. Don't shop around. Join 200 million fashion shoppers, including me, on List.com. That's L-Y-S-T. Or download the List app on the App Store today.
Henry's got the night off. Steve Thompson in. Chris Tubbs is our producer. Twins fall 3-2 in that combo platter. And I love the way Chris Satterbury explained it, that, you know, you've got March, April is a combo month, and you got September, October. Well, this September, October has been miserable for the Minnesota Twins. They continue to struggle to the finish line. They've got two to go. Final game of the series open in Chicago. By the way, the White Sox clinch second in the division, for whatever that's worth. They are 80-80. The Twins fall to 77-83. They had clinched a losing record with the series finale loss to the Tigers in Detroit. In the ball game tonight, you can point to a guy who's going to be a huge part of this thing next year for the Twins. Bailey Ober goes five. Two runs, two hits. Both of those earned, struck out four, walked one. Gave up a home run. But what we saw from Bailey Ober late is kind of like, he's right. Young man, get him into the offseason. We've already talked about Joe Ryan and the rookie strikeout record. You've got Bailey Ober. You're going to have Sonny Gray. That's a good spot to start. So I'm going to accentuate the positive. Late, Gary Sanchez watches strike three. There's three games to go in the regular season. You're eliminated. Take a hack. I just was absolutely blown away by that at bat. You're against Liam Hendricks. The season's over. You're playing out the string three to go. Go to the plate and try and hit the thing into Lake Michigan. And I'm not sure the way I've been to Guaranteed Rate Field. I don't think that's the right direction. So I think the ballpark, the way it faces, hit it to O'Hare, whatever. But don't watch strike three in that spot. So they load him up against Liam Hendricks. They don't get it done. They don't tie the game. They fall 3-2. You know, beyond the fact that Griffin Jacks took the loss, he's had a really nice year. He's another one of those guys that you can say he's going to have a role in that bullpen for the Minnesota Twins. Johan Duran is another one you know is going to have a role in that bullpen. You would assume Caleb Thielbar is going to have a role in that bullpen next year. So those are guys that are going to be around and are going to be on the 26th man in 2023. But it just is a symptom of how things have gone for the last month for this team. I just don't understand. Particularly, it's take a hack, man. And I know they tried to explain it as, well, he was looking for a certain pitch. Chris Tubbs, I don't know about you, but that Sanchez AB late in the game, it just drives me crazy. How do you let strike three fly by? At least be protecting the plate.
Yeah, at this point, you got nothing to do but swing the bat, right? I mean, yeah. What's the downside in going up there and striking out at this point in the season? I mean, you're not going to cost your team.
Looking.
Yeah,
you're
not going to cost your team a game that's going to determine any sort of postseason implications. So go up there, take a hack, see what can happen. It's disappointing to kind of see how this team has kind of limped or stumbled to the finish line.
Yeah, and like I say, J.K. has struck out swinging. Mark Contreras struck out swinging.
You just want to see an effort.
Take a hack, man. I mean, how do you walk back to the dugout in a final series of the season against the White Sox? You got a chance to be a hero. Take a hack. I mean, if you're going to rip anything in this ball game, to me, that one stands out. And by the way,
what did you want him to do?
Take a hack. You know,
it's got to be a soundbite now.
I'm seriously.
Yeah.
And by the way, give us a call, send us a text. Cities One Plumbing Talk and text line here on Final Pitch as the season winds down. One more night game tomorrow night, and then the day game, the middle of the afternoon matinee in Chicago to put a bow on the 2022 season. One other thing you and I talked about while Chris was winding down the post-game download is those White Sox uniforms. At first I was like, do I hate these? And I'm like, no, they're not bad. You know, is an alternate, I would assume those are what MLB, and I think they ripped this off from the NBA, the City Edition.
Oh, yeah, the City Connect Edition, yes. Absolutely.
I actually thought they were pretty sharp.
I did,
too. If you wear those on, say, Saturday night home games, mm-hmm. or, you know, whatever you choose, I don't want to see them every day. It's too much. But they were kind of cool. I give them credit.
Black with like the silver stripes and like the silver South Side, you know, kind of like, you know, in that really like in that font. I love it. And I mean, I don't like the White Sox. To me, the White Sox are the Packers of the Major League Baseball, of the Major League
Arch
Baseball.
Arch rivals.
Yeah.
Arch rivals.
Yeah. I just don't like them. I dislike the White Sox more than I dislike any other team in baseball.
Well, it's kind of like...
But I like those uniforms.
You know, every now and then the Tigers have had good ball clubs, and the Twins have had some spirited battles with the Tigers. There's no doubt about it. I go way back to that magical year of 1987,
mm-hmm.
you know. That was pretty cool. That was memorable. The Tigers in the old Tiger Stadium.
Oh, Frank Tanana, Doyle Alexander, Daryl Evans, Lou Whitaker, Alan. I mean that Tiger team, Kirk Gibson, they were stacked.
Yeah, and playing in the old Tiger Stadium. So you know, over the years, but I don't think there's any doubt. You know, over the long haul, the Twins and Sox have the rivalry. You know, Cleveland, the Guardians, by the way, the division champs, and a tip of the cap to them. A little bit more on that in a little bit. I really haven't had a chance to talk about the Guardians. And then you got the Royals. And it's kind of like, you know, the Royals have had some good clubs over the years. There's no doubt about it. They had that lights-out bullpen, and that team won a world championship. But it seems ever since then, they've gone downhill, and now they're just in constant rebuilding mode. And as I mentioned, the Tigers, they just had a dismal year, even though they took 2 out of 3 from the Twins over the weekend. You're not sure what their plan is. But I will say this, the White Sox, major disappointment this year. We all remember it. They were the overwhelming favorite to win the division. And now with 2 to go, they're at 80-80. So flip a coin. Are the Twins going to win the final 2 and put the Sox in the mode of a losing record this season? As bad as this September and early October has been for the Twins, the White Sox have just had a nightmare of a season. You know, wouldn't you agree that over the long haul, the White Sox have had nothing to cheer about because the expectations were they were going to win this division. They were going to win it easily.
Yeah, absolutely. I mean, you look in the offseason coming into this year, Lucas Giolito, Lance Lynn, Dylan Cease. Then you had Liam Hendricks at the end of the bullpen. Then you look at that lineup. Yoan Moncada, Jose Abreu, Tim Anderson, Eloy Jimenez, Jimenez, Ramirez. I'm losing track right now. I'd have to go back and look. But, I mean, they had so much talent there. You look at the talent, and they were probably the most balanced team. I mean, they had injuries just like the Twins did. So I think part of that could be the injuries. I mean, Tony La Russa and his health issues, I'm sure that probably had something to do with it. But at the end of the day, it's about winning. It's about being able to execute better than your opponents. And the White Sox and the Twins, I mean, neither one of them did it, but yeah, I think the White Sox would be a bigger disappointment, even though the Twins got off to a much better start.
Yeah, and the White Sox will finish ahead of the Twins, but I would argue that going into the season, the White Sox by far and away had one of the more disappointing seasons in the American League. You know, you got the Red Sox right up there as well, but and the Angels started out well and collapsed, but the White Sox never got on track. At least the Twins had that great start to the year and the surprise and spent all that time in first place before the wheels really came off the wagon. So at least the Twins had their moment in the sun. The White Sox never had that this year. And now, with that said, based on what you just said and the players they have, that it wouldn't surprise me one bit when healthy going to spring training in 2023, the Chicago White Sox aren't the favorite to win the division again. Would it surprise you?
It actually would. It would. And I think
I don't know, man. They might be my pick to bounce back and win it next year.
I mean, I think you got two questions right now that are hanging over the White Sox in terms of their free agents. It's Tim Anderson and Jose Abreu. And they have guys that they can, that they can plug into those spots. But one thing that the White Sox did probably about 6 or 7 years ago, like they gutted a lot of their major league roster for all of these prospects. And then they had the number one farm system for several years. And now those players have made the big leagues. And now we're back to the point where, it's kind of taken away from that AA and AAA level. So I would say that while they might have a ton of talent at the major league level, let's see what it looks like come opening day 2023, they might not have the depth in the minor leagues that could sustain them maybe like it could have before.
But they have shown a willingness to spend money, and they have a base of pitching that can be scary. And
Dylan Cease and Lucas Giolito are absolutely 1A and 1B. Those two are, I think Cleveland's got the best pitching staff depth in the division, but as for 1 and 2, I think you can make the case. You can make the case for those two.
I just think the Sox would be poised for a bounce back, and if the Twins want to get back into the mix, I think they have the makings. We've talked about it a number of times. When I've had a chance to fill in for Henry here on Final Pitch, and I brought it up on the weekends as well, that I really feel pretty good about what the Twins have set for starting pitching next year. And now it becomes lineup. Can the lineup become more consistent? Carlos Correa, by all accounts, will opt out and pursue a 7-year, $250 million deal, something in that neighborhood or beyond. Who knows what his agent will be able to cook up. But the point being is that the Twins have a good base. They have some guys to plug into the bullpen. I think they're really solid now on the back end of the bullpen. It's hard to argue with Duran. You know, he goes into spring training as your closer. I mean, the guy can throw 104 miles an hour or whatever it is. So I think there's some positives and some stability on the pitching side. It's what about that everyday lineup? How do you use Luis Arraez? How do you get a Jose Miranda? And where do you plug those guys into the lineup? Who's your shortstop? Polanco will be at second. I think there's a lot of question marks. And then beyond that, you know, what about Byron Buxton? What does the outfield look at? We'll get into that in more detail. By the way, White Sox win game one, 3-2. They clinch second in the division. The Twins grabbed an early 2-0 lead. White Sox tie it up. They get the winner in the seventh. Sox over the Twins 3-2. Same two teams tomorrow night. We'll have more on Final Pitch in a moment here on News Talk 830-WCCO. Final Pitch. Twins fall to the Sox. Game one of the three-game set to close out the 2022 campaign. Good start for Bailey Obert. Twins load him up against Liam Hendricks. Can't get it done in the ninth. Twins fall 3-2. And by the way, our Cities One Plumbing Talk and text line always open for you. 651-461-9226. We love to hear from you. 651-461-9226. I got a kick out of this from our text line. This is Chris T. Tubbs, you dislike the White Sox more than the Yankees? Are you nuts? I'm trying to put the proper emphasis on all of that for Chris T. Tubbs, what do you say about that?
I do dislike the White Sox more than the Yankees. I will cheer for the Astros before I cheer for the White Sox.
Wow.
I won't cheer for the Yankees, but I won't cheer for the White Sox. Here's why. And I hold grudges, you know that, Steve. I'm petty. As my buddy Patrick Creighton says, there's no petty like sports petty. I remember back in, many years ago. I want to say 07, 08, you know. It doesn't matter. There were several years that the Twins finished ahead of the White Sox. And Kenny Williams, the then general manager, kept going off about how awful the Twins were because, you know, he's like, well, we're still the better team. Dude, you finished like 10 games out of first place. You're not the better team. So, number one, I thought that was just absolutely, you know, ludicrous. And then when the White Sox won the World Series in 2005, and I swear on my daughter's life, this is an honest story. Again, complete pettiness on my part. I realize it, but I'm sticking to it. My wife can attest. I will not listen to Journey's Don't Stop Believin', because that was the White Sox theme song in 2005 when they won the World Series. I will not listen to that song.
Fair enough. I mean, I believe you, man.
Besides, okay, Hawk Harrelson, I have to say, I was watching a game once, and I don't know why. I think maybe my remote must have been broken. That's why I was watching the White Sox broadcast of the White Sox and the Twins. But Michael Kadire, I think, got hit by a pitch in like the second inning. It was the seventh inning, and dude was still talking about it. And I'm like, man, you've got to build a bridge and get over it. Like, this is nauseating to talk about something that happened like five innings ago as I go off about something that happened 17 years ago. But nonetheless, I digress.
A couple other notes from MLB. Albert Pujols continues to get it done. Hits number 703 in his great career and moves into second on the all-time RBI list. That's pretty impressive.
And how about doing that back in St. Louis, like where he is revered? I mean, yeah, he had to stop in Anaheim and then the quick stopover in L.A. But to go back to St. Louis, like, I mean, that's just a cool story.
Yeah. I mean, you look at Pujols, Trails, Bonds, Aaron, Babe Ruth, all-time and home runs. Hit number 703, and it's just absolutely crazy what Albert's done in his career. And real quick sidebar on Albert Pujols. I remember when he left St. Louis and signed that ridiculous contract with the LA Angels. And at the time, I didn't blame the Cardinals one bit. And then here he's back in St. Louis to close out.
It was a good move by the Cardinals at the point.
It was a very wise decision.
Because the Angels had to cut bait with the end of that contract. I mean, when have we ever seen a Major League Baseball contract, Steve, work out to the very end? Like, I mean, you can see the Tigers with Miguel Cabrera right now. Like, they have these bloated contracts, and they're trying to figure out any way, shape, or form to get out of it. And the Cardinals did the right thing. I covered the Cardinals when I was in Missouri, and as painful as it was for them to see him go, it absolutely 100% was the right business move. But, I mean, it's nice that it, you know, the world works in mysterious ways.
Yeah, it is just absolutely incredible, the career he has put up. 296 career average, 3,382 hits now, 703 home runs, and what a run for Albert. By the way, Aaron Judge did not hit a home run tonight. He is stuck at 61, and we're running out of games this season for Aaron Judge. All right, a couple of quick thoughts on the Twins. And there's been a lot of talk about, you know, what this club looks like. And Luis Rice, Jose Miranda, outstanding seasons. Looks like Carlos Correa is going to move on. It's not official, but by all accounts, will move on. Byron Buxton will return from injury. Alex Kirilloff will return from injury. Two oft-injured players. Kirilloff just getting started in his career. Byron Buxton established. I think this point has been, how much can you expect out of Byron Buxton now based on his injury track record all the way up through the minor leagues, now in the major leagues? Can you pencil him in and expect to get 120 games out of him in 2023? You hope, but the track record, Chris Tubbs, is that he isn't going to be available.
Yeah, you absolutely have to have a plan B. And the team, especially in the outfield right now, Steve, they've got, hypothetically, they've got depth when you're healthy. I mean, you know, Larnick, Kirilloff can play it, Celestino, Buxton, Kepler, but you don't know who's going to be available and when. And that's the big problem. Like, everything revolves around Byron Buxton. But best case scenario, I think people are planning for, what, 60% of the game? So if he's going to play maybe between 100 and 120 games, best case scenario, you're planning on the contingency for 40 to 50 games. And then you add on to that you may lose him for extended periods of time during the year. It's a real tough position to be in. I don't envy that kind of decision. But
oh,
I mean,
no.
We said that, you know, they had to make this move. They had to sign him in the offseason. You had to sign him.
Oh, for sure.
But this is the risk that you take. And I still say, Steve, that it is a risk that the Twins had to take. And it's at the end, I feel like it's going to work out in the end for them. I just don't know what the entire return is going to be, if that makes sense.
And I don't buy. I think it's too early to say you're going to be the DH or you're going to play most of your games at DH. I think there's still so much value in having him in the field. You would think the law of averages, considering all the kooky injuries, that, you know, Byron Buxton is going to be healthy for a season. But can you bank on that? When you're planning who's going to be a part of this thing next year, we know how it goes. A lot of guys are going to come up due to injuries. The Twins had a ridiculous amount of injuries. But how you structure that outfield, once again, Alex Kirilloff had that surgery on the wrist trying to figure it out. So you got two big pieces in that outfield you don't know about. And is it time to give up on Max Kepler?
Is it time
to move on beyond Kepler?
And that's another question, because, you know, Kepler's got a very team-friendly contract, just like Jorge Polanco. Like, those two guys signed their extensions on the very same day. And, you know, Moran, at this point, I would fully expect them to tender Gio Urshela. What's not to say you don't, you know, you move Miranda over to first base, make him your primary first baseman, and... But, I mean, that's just one part of it, because I know they want Kirilloff to play first base. Well, if Kirilloff's one of those guys you can't expect to stay healthy, then what do you do?
Well, and I think the other what do you do is how do you utilize Luis Rice and get his bat.
He's got to get regular
lineup.
Bats, yes.
Yeah, every day. So there is some challenges for the Twins and how they structure this lineup. Next year, we're going to come back, have some highlights, say goodnight. We got all the news coming up at 11. Steve in for Henry. Chris Tubbs here, as always, on Final Pitch here on News Talk. 830-WCCO. It is Final Pitch. We have all the news at 11 coming up. John Batchelor to follow. Chris Tubbs is here. Let's go to Kelly. Kelly, you're on the City's One Plumbing Talk and Text Line. Hello.
Hello. What was that inning where Billy Hamilton did not run the base from after he made that one hit? I didn't know what they were talking about. I don't remember what inning that was, but I think it was the seventh inning or it was the sixth inning.
Where he didn't run out of ground ball.
Yeah. And that didn't make any sense to Corey and Danny when they were looking at it. I was like,
All right, Kelly. I didn't see the play. Didn't hear the play at the moment, Chris.
I can give you a quick synopsis here. I believe it was Gio Urshela that got on base, and Billy Hamilton was a pinch runner. And what happened was the Twins didn't make any moves with Billy Hamilton, didn't put him in the run, didn't try any sort of straight steal or hit and run. And they were wondering, well, why do you substitute your fastest player, get him in the game, if you're not even going to
put out a play?
Yeah, if you're not going to do anything with him, I think is. Yeah, that was what confused them. You make the substitution, but at the end of the day, you're like, well, you didn't really use him to what you needed to.
Yeah, but you pinch run and then you don't do anything with him. It's kind of like Sanchez in the at bat in the ninth. Take a hack, be a hero. Strike three looking in the top of the ninth inning when you're losing on the road makes absolutely no sense to me. All right, let's get into the highlights here from the ball game tonight. Twins fall to the White Sox 3-2. Let's start with Gio Urshela, big highlight, two-run home run.
A swing and a fly ball to right field. Sheets going back, still going near the wall. Sheets looks up, and that ball's gone, a home run. So Urshela goes the opposite way, a two-out, two-run homer, and the Twins, some two-out extra base hitting, have a 2-0 lead.
And we go to inning number two, and the White Sox were able to tie it. They do it the same way.
And the 0-1 pitch, a high fly ball, left field trouble. Going back is Cave on the track at the wall. Cave jumps up, and that ball's gone. Game tied on a two-run homer from Josh Harrison, his seventh of the year. And the White Sox continue to hit Ober hard tonight and now pull even 2-2.
All right, so Ober gets through five, survived, gives up that two-run home run, didn't figure in the decision, and then the White Sox grab the lead in the seventh.
And the payoff pitch, ground ball in the hole, it's short, and through base hit left field. Pollock around third, heading home. Kay fires towards the plate, it's not in time. Down to second goes Perez, and the White Sox take a 3-2 lead.
And they go on to win it. Twins load him in the ninth against Liam Hendricks. He works out of the jam. White Sox win it 3-2. They go to 80-80. Twins fall to 77-83. Turn the page. Tuesday night, same two teams. Pre-game 6:30. First pitch 7:10. Final pitch to follow with Henry Lake here on the home of the Twins. News Talk 830 WCCO. Chris Tubbs will be on board for that one. And in that ball game on Tuesday night, Josh Winder against Lucas Giolito. Once again, pregame 6:30, first pitch 7:10. Hey, Chris, always fun. Good to hang out with you.
You too, buddy.
Wish we had better news on the Twins. They fall to the White Sox 3-2 in game one, the series finale three-game set on the south side of Chicago here on News Talk. 830 WCCO.
This episode is brought to you by Progressive Insurance. Whether you love true crime or comedy, celebrity interviews or news, you call the shots on what's in your podcast queue. And guess what? Now you can call them on your auto insurance too with the Name Your Price tool from Progressive. It works just the way it sounds. You tell Progressive how much you want to pay for car insurance, and they'll show you coverage options that fit your budget. Get your quote today at progressive.com to join the over 28 million drivers who trust Progressive. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. Price and coverage match limited by state law.
Okay, picture this. It's Friday afternoon when a thought hits you. I can waste another weekend doing the same old whatever, or I can conquer it. I can hop into my all-new Hyundai Santa Fe and hit the road. Any road. The steeper, the better. Because my all-new Santa Fe is available with H-Track all-wheel drive, so I can hit the trail without a worry in the world.
Heck, with three rows and best-in-class rear cargo space, I can pack the whole family in with all our gear. We've got available dual wireless charging for our phones, so we'll never lose touch with civilization, and we won't lose touch with the primordial power of Mother Earth. So which is it? Waste the weekend or do something a little more epic? And conquer it in the all-new Hyundai Santa Fe. Visit HyundaiUSA.com or call 562-314-4603 for more details. Hyundai, there's joy in every journey.
Protect your vehicle's engine with a full synthetic oil change and save with Mobil 1 at O'Reilly Auto Parts. Purchase 5 quarts of Mobil 1 full synthetic motor oil and receive a $10 O'Reilly gift card after rebate. See store for details. With your Mobil 1 purchase, you'll also receive 2 times points during Old Rewards Bonus Points Month at O'Reilly Auto Parts.
O'Reilly Auto Parts.